Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 26th of March at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I want to also welcome you to the show. As always, I want to let you know we are live streaming this event. You can find it over on YouTube or Facebook, Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. I'm also over in the chat room, and you can find that by heading to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and be redirected into the Facebook chat. It is a group. You can join it easily, and you'll find my post at the top of the page. You'll see other people chatting there. That's a great place to ask a question or interact. However, you can also do that just by joining one of the live streams. I'm pretty good at multitasking. I have my eyes on all, so you can rest assured I'll be there to see your comments and questions, and we'll interact that way. Welcome, Teresa. Good to have you. And welcome everyone else. Lillian, Sid, Sherry, Jane, Jessica, Victoria. Good to see you guys and everybody filing into the other chat. Tiff, Suzanne, and everybody else. Thanks for being here, you guys. So, I mean, obviously, we have to talk about the full moon, right? How did you do? Hey, Maureen. Yeah, how'd you do with that full moon? Interesting energy. It was a Libra moon. Kind of a time that, you know, is supposed to be about seeking balance, they say. I've been in, like, a real creative rut for about a week. And really just haven't done much of anything. And it's bugging me. I'm in that space where I don't feel like getting anything done, but at the same time, like, I have so many plans and things I want to do and I'm trying to do. And so yesterday, I finally, in the evening, started picking up steam and made a nice dinner and accomplished a few things and went, okay, the bitch is back. But it took me a minute. I don't know. I know you guys are like that too, but do you go through spurts of feeling more inspired and creative and spurts where you're feeling a lot more inspired to stay on the couch? Kind of been in both places. But also, and I know this is no big surprise because I've talked about this 1,000 times, but I am, hello, Eva. I am a huge college basketball fan. I mean, most especially Boise State, but they're out. They lost out quick. So I'm watching everybody else, particularly the Mountain West teams, because we're in the Mountain West. And so I tend to yell for them a little louder. But you guys, if you're not watching women's college basketball yet, why not? That is some of the wildest, most badass stuff you are going to see. And because of some really talented players the last few years, there's been a lot more interest in women's college basketball. Women's basketball used to be, you know, completely ignored, hardly televised at all, hardly attended at all. And now, because of some things going on with, you know, with some players like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Juju, oh, I can't say your name, and many others, there are all kinds of, there's all this interest now, and stadiums are selling out, and the watching numbers of women's basketball is eclipsing men's, and it's so wild, but it's so much fun. So anyway, we are in the middle of NCAA March Madness, so, you know, maybe watch a game, just out of solidarity and support, if nothing else. But I guess that's probably where my focus has been more than anything, and that's okay. It happens once a year, you know, and I'm having fun, so that's cool. But yeah, just felt so uninspired till last night, and I finally just woke up. So that's good. I needed it. Oh, let's see. Pamela said she was definitely not balanced. Lillian had the best full moon day. You know why? I do know why. Cool as hell. I won't talk about it, though, without your permission. But very cool. Let's see. Jane said it's been a couch week for her, too. Suzanne said very edgy, anxious energy. needing to be on the go and get things done while also not feeling physically so well, responding to the moon phases and more and more, I think. Yeah, sounds like it. We also have had big solar flares this last week, and some people have really felt Mercury retro. It's not here yet, but have kind of felt it creeping in more potently than normal. So I think there's a kind of a multitude of things. Sid has felt groggy and out of normal character. Right, Maureen? We're here for it. Absolutely. Okay, Lillian said I can. So she happens to be neighbors or neighbor adjacent to a very famous writer, Stephen King. And she feeds his dog on her walks. She brings little bits of bacon to feed to his dog. It's so cute. And so she's gotten to be like sweet little acquaintances with Stephen King. And she found a book. She picked up one of his books and asked him to sign it. And he signed it really sweet. Called her his dog's favorite bacon lady and his. It's so cool. I love it. What a fun, interesting relationship you've formed there, Lillian. I love it. It's very cool. Yeah. Ah, Sid. It's true. I didn't get the show scheduled until about 11. Been a little slow today. I've been slow because I was totally sidelined by something else. But Maureen said this Libra is exhausted. Hey, JR. I'm going to jump into the other chat really quick. Evelyn says, I'm not coming clearly through 1-2 radio, static and music. Unfortunately, if that happens, there's not a thing I can do about it. But you may come over to the live stream. It would be better for hearing. And you can find the live stream at YouTube or Facebook, Katie Weaver, Domestic Mystic. Let's see. Tiff said, I plowed through a bunch of unpacking and organizing in the house and found myself staying up till 11:30 at night. The max view of the eclipse was at 12:12 a.m. my time. Started to feel a tickle in my throat before bed and woke up not feeling so hot. Ah, I'm sorry. Dang it. Hey, Marina. That sucks. I did not stay up for the eclipse. I was just too tired. That's part of my... Marina said low energy day for her too. That's been part of my, I've been super tired, but this last week, I think it's just, some kind of weird thyroid thing, maybe, I don't know, but again, feeling a little better. So, hey, Norvella said feeling better, still have some healing to do. Maureen said, how do you not let the energy of others affect you? Whew. Well, how much time do you have? We should talk about it. I don't know if we'll get there today. The solar eclipse is happening on April 8th. The lunar eclipse was in the wee hours of Monday morning. Yeah. Sid said she tried to see the eclipse, but the clouds kept drifting over the moon. Yeah. JR's feeling better than usual. Could be the new meds. Good news. Awesome. I love hearing that. Oh, well. Oh, gosh. So you guys know I live in Idaho, and Idaho struggles with being decent on a daily, but this one really takes the cake. Gonzaga University got the opportunity to be a host site for some of the NCAA championships, playoff games. Huge honor. Huge honor. But Gonzaga is in Spokane, Washington, which is not a very big town. And it's adjacent to Idaho, to Coeur d'Alene and Moscow, Idaho. Also not big towns. But so they kind of, you share accommodations, lodging, restaurants, you know, back and forth there. They're just over the river from each other. It's not far. And so apparently Utah's state's women's basketball team was here for the tournament, and in their hotel in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, they experienced some hate crimes. Yeah, some appallingly racist behavior. And their girls, their student athletes, felt so unsafe that the NCAA had to get involved and move them to a different hotel. And then their last night here, they were walking from their hotel to a restaurant, and two pickups full of men pulled up onto the curb, like, you know, came screaming up next to some women walking down the road, revving their engines and screaming racial slurs out the window at these girls. And they're upset, as well they should be. Their coaches are upset. Gonzaga University is horrified that this happened. And as not to be surprising in Idaho, because we are rapidly regressing into a worse place all the time for stuff like this, the white men in Idaho are just running to try to discredit these stories, to discredit these women, to demand pictures or a video or it didn't happen. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted by the hate in Idaho. I don't even know where it goes anymore. You know, I never thought I would not want to not live here. It's my home. I was born here. I've always lived in this state. But my God, I am worn out. Just worn out on the fight here. And forever, I have felt like, you know, we have to stay here and anchor the state and try to help bring it into a more inclusive place. Yesterday, our governor and some of his cronies put out a video pontificating and congratulating each other on signing away DEI in this state. So the very day that we are gladly getting rid of diversity, our citizens are harassing Black people on the street. It is just disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Yeah. Yeah, no, it didn't happen in Utah. It happened to the Utah State players. But here in Idaho, I'm appalled. I'm horrified. You know? Like, I feel like I need to send them a personal apology. I probably will. I don't even live on that side of the state, but by God. Anyway. So between that and the bridge collapse this morning in Baltimore, my God, so much love to all involved in that. Jeez almighty, how terrifying. I'm really over it. Yeah. Yeah, Sid said I've had people tell me they had to move out of Idaho after they chose it as their forever home. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And yet the white people here will expel all their wind telling you all about how none of that's true and we're not racist here, which is insane. When Micah was in high school, there was one boy on the football team that was Black. Happened to be the son of some people I grew up across the street from. Knew his family well. And I had asked I was visiting with his mom one day at a practice, just visiting, you know. And we were talking about the team and how these guys are doing with each other and stuff. Like, we weren't on the topic of race. And her eyes welled up and she told me about how hard it's been for this boy to stay on this team. How many racist things have been said to him over the years and continue to be said to him. How on a recent football trip that he roomed with three kids who said constant racist things to him in the room. Called him the N-word, you know, over and over. And how hard it was for him to want to continue to stay on this team. But he wanted to go on and play college football, which, by the way, he did do and was successful. But, you know, what a hard experience it had been for him to go to high school here and to be on the team with all of these students, she said, and sometimes coaches who used really racist terms with him. What the hell? Like, really, what the hell? I'm just so disgusted and over it. Anyway, so that's where my thought process was this morning, was when I was reading online about what was going on right here in my great state. We used to have a license plate that said Idaho is too great for hate. And a couple of years ago, it was removed from circulation. But don't worry, it's been replaced with a Don't Tread on Me license plate. So there you go. Yeah. Exactly. Where do we think these kids are learning their racist behavior? It's their families. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I know it's not just happening here. It's everywhere. We just have to, we cannot stay silent on these issues. We can't. I posted about the Gonzaga incident on my Facebook page, but you know, it's interesting, not to be a big old conspiracy theorist, but whenever I post anything about social issues on my Facebook page, I hardly get any engagement. And I can post a picture of my pigs and I'll have 30 comments and likes. I post something about social issues, especially here in Idaho, and I'll get very little engagement at all. And so the question then lends me to the question, are people just not seeing those posts? They're not showing up for others? Or are people just uncomfortable and don't dare speak out or say anything? I don't know. We are knee deep in a case that we've been covering here in Idaho. Last Wednesday night, there was a jailbreak that happened actually at the hospital. An inmate had self-injured. The police took him to the hospital to get stitched up, and a guy met them there with gunfire and took him. They went up into northern Idaho, murdered two men, came back down around like past my house and into all the way back up towards Boise, into the Twin Falls area, where they were arrested and taken back into custody. This all happened last week, Wednesday, Thursday. And my girls were like, Mom, please don't cover this story. Just don't cover it. Why? Because those two men are members of a white supremacist gang, white supremacist prison gang called the Aryan Knights, that's well known in Idaho, Washington, and Oregon. And my girls were like, that, it's not safe for you to talk about this stuff on the internet. And I'm like, you know, I'm not probably going to be all that heavily centered on their affiliation with the Aryan Knights. There's a few things to say to explain the tattoos on their faces and things. But I mean, mostly it's just about the jailbreak and the crimes and stuff. But I don't understand the world we're living in these days. Maybe when I was a kid, I was just oblivious. Maybe I was kid oblivious, you know? Hopefully I was. That's how it should be, probably. But boy, as an adult, especially the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, it just seems like things are getting a little more scary all the time. I don't know what to say about that, except for here we are. But yeah, I'm with you, Lillian. We cannot just stay silent. We can't stay quiet and afraid. We need to not be stupid as well, of course. But we can't just shut the fuck up and not talk about this stuff. We can't. When we're assured, especially here in Idaho by other white people, that this isn't even happening. When people are telling us what happened to them, what their experiences were, how it felt, what was said, and our answer is, no, it's not. What? 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 I'm exhausted on it. But I'm not going to shut up. I can't. I can't. Whether it's this platform or another. I have been very, very hesitant to talk about my feelings about what's going on in Gaza for the same reason. Because I have been afraid. Afraid of retaliation, afraid of what people will say. Right after that, the incident started in Israel, and I made a post about it on Facebook, someone came at me full bore about basically that it's kill or be killed at this point, and they didn't accuse me of being anti-Semitic, but they were a step away from it. And I was like, you know, both things can be true, right? Both things can be true. You can think that what's happening in Palestine is genocide, and also think that terrorists shouldn't be in Israel wiping out their people. You can think both things are true. One of, I think, the worst things that is happening to us is that we are being put in these boxes that if you believe these things, then this is who you are. And if you believe these things, this is who you are. And there's no gray area. There's no in between. That's bullshit. And that's one of the things that we have to continue to refuse to accept. Just refuse to accept. I can certainly think that what's happening to women and children and other civilians in Gaza is wrong without saying that it's okay what they did. Well, they didn't do it, but what terrorists did, you know? We have to reject that and quit allowing ourselves to be put in one box or another. But we have to also be afraid. We have to stop being afraid to use our voice. And I personally am holding myself accountable for not saying more about what's happening in Gaza and about the genocide that's happening there. It's wrong. There's nothing right about it. Children are starving to death. Pregnant women are being gunned down on the streets. We are talking about people that haven't done a damn thing wrong except for be born into a freaking war zone. Yep. Sorry about it. It's all what's in my heart today, but I'm not going to stop talking about it. I can't. I won't. We can't. We can't. So what do you do? What do you do? Because none of us can exact all that much change by ourselves. None of us can change the tide that much, right? Maybe. Hey, Cynthia. But so what can you do? Your heart's bleeding for people on both sides. Well, you can call it as you see it. You can send money where you can if it feels appropriate and feels safe and smart. You can always envision better and send your best. We can do healing circles. We can pray for peace. We can certainly push for better. What we can't do is continue to go, I don't want to see this. I don't want to talk about this. It's too much. I don't want to. I don't want to open myself up to be, you know, attacked by others. I don't want to be involved. It doesn't affect me. Yeah, it does. It affects all of us. If you see the collective energy as a pond, stay ready. Yeah, Quelly, correct. Yeah. If you see the collective frequency as a pond, and every time you spread love and peace, you throw those rocks into the pond, that ripples out to others. You'll never know necessarily how much your influence could affect the world, positively or negatively. You won't know. We can't know, really. But collectively, do things like this affect all of us? Absolutely they do. As a human race, as humanity, does this all affect all of us? Yeah, of course it does. This is our humanity. You can't ever pretend like this just doesn't affect you. Yes, it does. Absolutely. Yeah, Lillian, watching Putin light candles for the innocents who died while he kills thousands of innocents in Ukraine. Yeah. Yep. None of it is right. Yep. Sid said an open mind is essential. Plus digging for truth and critical thinking. There's a lot of deliberate manipulation of our minds to accept certain stories. Especially, yeah, agreed. And especially the, like I said, the idea that you have to be on a team. You have to fit in a box. And we keep allowing people to do that to us. And it shuts us up. And we have to stop allowing that. Yep. Yep. Yeah, I think you have to be really careful. For example, and this is a topic that might some of you might not appreciate, but January 6th. Who I followed, who I got me information from that day, it came from TikTokers that were on the ground there that were taking video of what they were seeing and what they were experiencing. And that's where my first opinions were formed, because these were people, not pundits, not news people, certainly not politicians, that were there on the ground watching this play out with absolute shock and horror and fear until they had to leave the area for their own safety. But I think that when you look at Gaza especially, I mean, there are people on the ground that are recording things, that are posting pleas, that are sharing things that is to me the best source of information, because they're just people that just want you to know. But I think it definitely, we all need to employ a lot of critical thinking. Yep, for sure. Yep, I know. Sid said the team box idea is the biggest thing keeping our country trapped in a never-ending loop. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Yep. Yep. My mom was a feminist. She was a Democrat for the most part. But she did never let that dictate how she voted or how she felt about policy. And I always really honored that in her. My dad, he came from an area that was very red, very Republican, and he just always voted Republican straight ticket because that's what he was raised to do. And it just made sense to do that, I guess. You just followed the R. And here in Idaho, that's mostly all we have. But my mom was a lot more thoughtful about studying the candidates and their ideas and their policies and the things they said, and not voting for the number or the letter beside their name as much as voting for the person she thought would be best for the job, for the area, for the teacher. She was a teacher, you know, for the things that were important to her. And I always really honored that she didn't allow herself to be stuffed in a box where you have to do this or you have to do that. And she had no problems saying what she thought about any politician. It didn't matter what side of anything they were on. If she was not comfortable with it, she would say so. And I honored that. I do honor that. I don't know the answers, guys, but I do know we have to stay awake. We have to stay aware. We have to ask questions. We have to have critical thinking. And for the love of God, can we keep our humanity, please? Doesn't seem like a hard ask. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Suzanne, I agree with that entirely. She said, I've learned as white people in this country, we must use our privilege to enter into those conversations that our brother and sisters of color do not have access to. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, Cynthia, it's what we should do. Obviously, it's what we should do. Hey, Maya. And I'm sorry, you guys. I didn't mean for this show to be totally hijacked by social stuff. But I guess here we are. And I guess maybe sometimes we just need to. Right? Sometimes we just need to. Okay. Let's move on to Luminous. I put a link in the chat room. This is the magazine that I publish every Tuesday, so you probably already got it in your inbox, but if not, there's a link there if you want to follow along. I did put it up in here in the chat as well, or in the live stream as well, so we'll go through a few things. I love this cover. Spring is springing, man. It was so pretty yesterday. Then it snowed. Then the sun shone. We woke up with a little snow. Now it's gone. Scott's supposed to umpire games today, so we're not really sure what's going to happen. They haven't been canceled, so we think maybe they're going to go ahead and try to play. But spring is springing. My tulips are, gosh, this high probably already. I've got so many birds out front. I have my crows, who are paired up now. I have, so they're, you know, out here hollering at me all the time. I've got doves out there. I've got magpies. I've got all these cute little brown birds, these little black birds that wait for me to bring out the peanuts and cat food in the morning. And as soon as the crows will always take food and then fly away with it and eat it and come back. And as soon as they leave, I have this little flock of blackbirds that just attack the feeder, and they're really, really quick. And they all just boom in there, and then boom, they're gone, and they're grabbing the cat food and taking off with it. They're so cute. That's all. That's warming up my heart. So anyway, I had to do a cover that was all spring flowers because, by God, we need it desperately. So I called the magazine this week, the Clearing the Cobwebs edition, because it's time. So whether you're thinking about spring cleaning or you're just thinking about cleaning up the energetic sludge in your house, it's time. It's spring. When I was a kid, man, we did spring cleaning. I should still do this, but I don't. I should. But we went through all the dressers and the drawers and the cupboards and the closets in our house. We donated. We cleaned out. We threw away. I did get unsalted peanuts. I got mine at Winco. I don't know. Winco is a big grocery store chain around here, but I don't think they're necessarily national. But I bought a case of them, a 25-pound box for $40, and that'll last me the whole summer. But yeah, they're hard to find. So I like the salted in-shell unsalted in-shell peanuts for the crows. That's what they like. And that's Walmart used to have them, and they don't now. But this is like a grocery store that has a lot of bulk bins, and so they had bulk. They have them in their bins, but I just bought a whole box. But anyway, yeah, that's where they came from. Okay, so for smudging your home, I wrote you a nice guide about how to clear your space. We've talked about it lots of times, of course, but I just wanted to make sure that you guys were clear. And I wanted to show you how to do the pendulum part because you might not know. So let's go through it. So smudging, of course, is the practice of clearing space by burning sacred herbs, sometimes incense. Sometimes people just use dragon's blood incense. Some people who can't burn something, say you have an apartment building or an office building or whatnot where you really can't be burning something, you can also just use, you can take basil or sage and make a strong tea out of it and then put that in a spray bottle and spray that all the way through the space instead. So if you can't burn, that's an option for you, basil or sage. If you are using sage, there's been a lot of argument the last few years about using white sage because white sage is being overforested. It only grows in very specific areas, mostly in California. And as it is overforested and it is a part of ceremony for certain Native American cultures, and all of us New Agey white people are like, hey, I got to use this. And we're taking away opportunities from others. And so a lot of people have turned to using common sage or desert sage. Totally, totally acceptable. I always use desert sage, but I live on a desert, so it's not hard for me to get. But desert sage, I think, does a great job. And that's really easily and readily available. And you don't have to be buying up all the white sage and keeping it necessarily overforested. Because why would we want to do that? Yeah. So you decide what feels right for you. And if you have some white sage and you want to use it up, do. You already have it. Don't feel like you have to do something different. But consider maybe getting away from white sage in the future and just using something else. All right. But there are others. And in my tips, I actually shared a whole infographic about different things to smudge with. So we'll talk about that more. So to prepare to smudge, you want to set your intention. So really think about, why are you smudging? Are we releasing negativity? Are we just releasing heavy energy, stagnant energy? You want to invite positivity in. Maybe you just want to create some kind of a sacred space in your home for reflection. Just get your intention straight before you start. Why are you smudging? What's the point? Because you're going to hold that in your heart while you work. Then open some windows and doors. You don't have to open them all, but you do want some space for the smoke to do its work and gather up that stuff you're asking it to take and take it. So open up some doors and windows. Once you've done that, the first thing that, and this is what I do. You don't have to do it exactly like me, of course, but this is what I do. I always start with a singing bowl. And if you don't have a singing bowl, it's fine. A chime, a bell, a drum, even clapping. just walking through the space before you come through with the smoke with some kind of a vibrational frequency. Hell, you could take a boombox that's playing some kind of beat or music or Native American flute or chanting, anything, you know, that feels right to you. But some kind of vibration that you can take through your rooms before you start smudging is a really good way to break up the bigger, heavier, more stagnant stuff. So do that first. Do frequency first. Then light your herb, whatever it is, with matches or with a lighter. You're going to want to have it either in a shell or a heat-proof dish, something, so you're not dropping ashes all over the floor or burning yourself. Been there, done that. You're going to walk all the way through your space, blowing that smoke out. You can use your hand to waft it. You can use a feather. You can blow on it. But do something so that you can kind of billow it around your rooms and in your spaces. And then, of course, make sure that you are getting to all the corners, crevices, nooks, and crannies. Set your intentions. As you're moving through, you want to be kind of holding that intention. Why am I doing this? What am I clearing? What am I asking to leave? What am I hoping to accomplish here? Right? Okay. Again, pay attention to all the nooks and crannies. It's important. Do things like open up the cupboards under the sink. Make sure you do the utility room really well. That seems to be an offending spot. Make sure that you do under the beds, in the closets, around the corners, just all the spots that just might not get much activity. Basements. Just, oh my God, the basements. They're usually the worst place. Hey, Laurie. So make sure that you put plenty of attention there. I have cleared multiple basements where I couldn't keep my smudge going. It blew out about a million times. It was just so dense, and the basement was so dense that it was really hard to keep my stuff burning. Isn't that wild? But it happens. All right. Then you want to check your work. So this is what I wanted to show you because I don't know if you know how to do this or not, but you use a pendulum. If you don't have a pendulum, just a pendant works just fine. You want it to be a fairly heavy one. This is a piece of sandstone that's been wrapped. I bought it on Navajo Nation last summer or last spring. Anyway, very cool piece, but something that's fairly heavy. You want to give it a little bit of chain, about like that. The way you hold it's important. You don't want the rest of the chain or the string or whatever to be hanging down where it could interfere. Make sure that you wrap all of that up in your hand. And then you just want to pinch it between your thumb and forefinger, like that. So when you're using your pendulum with clearing, you're just checking your work. So stand somewhere near the center of the home. Hold your pendulum out. And if the first thing you always have to establish, unless this is a pendulum you use all the time and you already know the answer, you want to establish what yes looks like and what no looks like. So hold it over your hand like this and just ask, show me yes. And then wait. So I'm getting a clockwise yes, which is pretty normal for me. I'm going to tell it to stop. Now it's just swinging. So now show me no. And I'm getting a good clockwise no, which is normal for me. Stop. But I've had a few pendulums that were swung, you know, did different things for yes and no. So you kind of want to ask and just be sure. If you're going to ask yes, no questions, you need to know what yes and no look like, right? So then just hold your pendulum out in your space and ask, is this space clear? See, I'm getting a no, but I haven't smudged yet, so no big surprise there. Okay, so stop. And then just go room by room. walk into each room and ask the question. What you will likely discover is that one or two rooms are not clear for whatever reason. There was some really dense stuff there, whatever. But it'll tell you. So you stand in that room and you ask, is this room clear? If it is, yes, move on. If not, no. Then you can do a couple of things. You can either just re-clear the whole room if you'd rather, or you can start getting more specific. Is it on this side of the room? Is it on this side of the room? Is it the bed? Because you know what? It's always the bed. It's always the bed. I have been on so many space clearings in other people's homes, so many over the years. And the beds, you guys, it's the beds. 9 times out of 10, it's the bed. Now, I try not to assume because you never know. Maybe it's not, you know. I had one house that it was this giant, Celtic cross. Giant, like Gothic cross, not Celtic, giant Gothic cross, like 5 feet tall, huge thing that she bought at an antique store, big metal thing. And it was not clear. And it would not clear. And it took us forever to get that thing cleared out. But so, you know, you don't want to assume. Who knows? It could be something that you didn't expect. But the beds. I think it's the bed because that's where we convalesce. It's where we dream. It's where we sleep. Some people spend a lot of time in their beds just, you know, watching TV, hanging out. It's also where people make love. And there's a lot of emotional intensity that goes along with that. One place, you know. But at any rate, I think there's just a lot of emotional shedding that goes on in beds. But so clearing the bed really well and under the bed really well is always key. But at any rate, that's how. So once you go room by room and you feel like everything's clear now, go back to the center of the space and ask one more time. And then if it depends on the house, if there's been like weird stuff happening, disturbances and stuff on the property, I might take it one step further and ask if the property is clear. Because you never know. We were clearing a space one time where one of the outbuildings was a really big problem. And we spent quite a bit of time out there with the horses clearing that space with some really confused horses. So, you know, it's kind of a funny thing. But that's a great way to just find out. So once you get an all clear, is this space clear? And you get a yes, then you're good to go. Then move on to the last step, and that's your rose water. So the reason you use rose water is that roses are the highest vibrational flower, and rose water or rose hydrosol is really high vibrating. It's been said to invite back in the angels. It's been said to invite back in joy and peace and happiness. So you just walk all the way back through the space. Just follow the same path that you cleared in the first place. Most people will just inherently go clockwise. If you end up going widdershins or counterclockwise and it feels right, then fine. Go with that. Just go with the energy that feels correct. What was being cleared on the Celtic cross? It was so weird, Teresa. The homeowner was standing next to it and her face looked green. I grabbed my sister that was helping. We were working together, Christy, and I was like, can you come look at her face? I said, am I seeing something? She goes, my God, her face is green. I said, yeah, okay, yes. I don't even know what it was. It was a big antique she had bought from a church that had closed and cleared out all of their stuff in California. But it was very weird. Once we finally felt like we had it clear, I asked the homeowner to go stand next to it again, and no green face. I've never seen anything like it. I wish I could tell you exactly what that was, but I really don't know. Anyway, once your rose water is done, then express gratitude. We usually do this in the form of a healing circle if you are with others. If you're with yourself, then maybe you don't want to do that or don't need to do that, but do express gratitude for the energies that came and helped you to clear. And this is another really, really good place for space for you to just hold space for all of the good things you want in your life and in your home. It's a good time to speak out. When we do a healing circle with a group, we'll ask them to speak out loud anything, you know, things that they want in this home now. So people will start saying things like love and acceptance and cooperation and peace and being healthy and being happy and things like that. And it's really powerful. And so even if you're smudging by yourself, I highly recommend that you speak into existence the things that you want to feel in your house. Burn candles, play uplifting music, do things that fill that space back up with joy and with light. That's key. That's a really good question, Sid. She said, do you know how much Jade Bloom's rose hydrosol is to mix with water to make a face spray? I don't know how much it is. I buy it every once in a while. I think it's around $15 a bottle. Lillian said, I used their sandalwood hydro and sprayed that on my face. I used that on my face and on my hair, both. I use their sandalwood hydro instead of like a detangler in a spray bottle because I like the way it smells better. All of the like detanglers and stuff you buy, they're so heavily perfumed. And I'm not a super big fan. So I usually do use sandalwood hydrosol or rose if I have it. But it seems like I tend to buy the other stuff more often. I was just looking that up for you, though. So what rose hydrosol is, in case you're wondering, rose hydrosol is it's the byproduct of making essential oils. So all hydrosols are a byproduct of making essential oils. So the process typically to make essential oils is they are steam distilled. And so when they do that, there's a lot of water left over that has the properties and the smell of the essential oil. And they're great. They're great for room sprays. They're great for like hair and face. The rose obviously is great for adding some joy back into your life. Their rose hydrosol is only $10, Sid. It's a dang good price. I'm going to share a link with you guys. I am an affiliate at Jade Bloom, full disclosure. I make, you know, a tiny bit of money off of them. But if you do buy through my referral code, then I do make a tiny bit. But please do not feel like that is required in any way. But I do appreciate you guys that do. I do Jade Bloom not as a business. I do it because I love Jade Bloom. Their oils and their sprays, in my opinion, are the best that there is. And they are a very ethical company. And I really appreciate all of that about them. Okay, I just put a link in the chat room for Jade Bloom's hydrosols, so you can go check those out if you're interested. But that's where I get mine. But again, if you buy it somewhere else, that's cool too. But did I take their aromatherapy class? A long time ago I did, yeah. Yeah. So the other part of that, this conversation before we're out of time today, let's keep moving. Kelly in her Refeminist History blog or podcast this week, she is talking about Alice Paul. She's the badass of the week. And she wrote an awesome article about her. But you can also go to her, just click the link here to go to her Refeminist History podcast and hear her and Lisa talking all about Alice Paul. So that is awesome. All right, so I put together an infographic of herbs for space clearing to give you a better idea of what you could consider using. So, of course, there's sage. We already talked about sage at length. So, you know, it's a sacred purification herb, but we want to be really, really thoughtful when using sage. Palo Santo is a South American purification. I'm calling it an herb. Obviously, it's actually wood, but you can buy little Palo Santo sticks that look like the ones in this bundle here, and you just smolder them in your dish. Palo Santo smells amazing. Amazing. Oh, Jess, I hope you love it. I love them. I just love their products. So Palo Santo is always a thought. Cedar. Cedar is a great one. You can make bundles of cedar just like you do sage and wrap them up and then dry them. And cedar works really well. You can also buy cedar bundles all over the place, but cedar works really good. Cedar has been used in a lot of different cultures actually for purification purposes. So you can burn cedar wood or the cedar boughs for purification. Sweetgrass. You can buy sweetgrass braids in lots of places. Sweetgrass grows in a lot of places. If you know where to find it, you could actually harvest your own. If you wonder how they get sweetgrass in those awesome braids, they braid it from the earth and then tie them off and trim them. It's an interesting process. We have sweetgrass around here, but I've never harvested it myself before. But sweetgrass really helps to invite higher vibes back in. And I like sweetgrass. I love the way it smells. And then juniper. So juniper, I don't really recommend burning the berries if you can pick those off. I think burning the berries, the smell of that, I think is very hard to take, and eye burning. You do you. But the boughs, however, and the branches, they release a purifying smoke. And I know, my infographic says to go ahead and burn the berries. You can. People do that. I personally just don't like them, but I'll take my juniper berries and gin. Thank you very much. But junipers are known to dispel negative energy and protect against unwanted influences. So juniper was used a lot in European folk medicine. So those of us that have more of a European or even a Celtic ancestry might be more drawn to juniper. So use what feels right or a combination therein. I like to make bundles that I use, that I sell in my Etsy store, that I gather the sage out on the desert and I gather the rose petals up in the mountains, and then I grow the rosemary and the lavender. So I make some that are just, plain, that are just themselves, and then some that have been, that I wrap together with either rosemary sprigs or lavender sprigs or roses. So there's lots of different ways to do smudge. Those are just some thoughts. Again, you can also just do some kind of a tea if you would prefer, with sage or with basil. And that makes a good one. Basil just, it, you can burn basil too, but I will tell you right now, it is an unpleasant experience. I've tried it to see. So basil is a really potent purification herb in South American, like, plant folk magic. And it's amazing to me, I think, being used as a tea, but being used like in a smudge stick to burn it, oh dear God. However, the reason that we use rosemary is because rosemary is in plant magic an amplification herb that helps to amplify the work of anything else you're doing. So you'll see me put rosemary in practically everything I do because it helps to build up the energy of what you're trying to accomplish. But anyway, so that's why I didn't recommend sage as a burner. Just I'll try it if you want. But I wasn't a fan. But as a tea for clearing, it's amazing. Okay. Christy brings us her inner peace energy exercise this week. Of course, there's lots of criming going on, What else can I say about that? Anita in the Masters. Anita brings us Archangel Jophiel. I thought that would be a really good one. She's about clearing and cleaning and stuff like that. So I brought her in this week because I thought that would be a good fit for a space clearing kind of week. Jamie Dawn has a brand new video with her daughter. What we tolerate within relationships. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation, of course. And that's it. So that's Luminous this week. So hopefully you Found some gems in there. But that is, those are the things I was thinking about this week, that it's time to put a focus on space clearing. I was partly thinking that because I've been so run down this last week. I'm thinking, you know what? It's definitely time for a clearing of the energy around here. Scott and I did a big cleaning and rearranging and clearing out in one of our art rooms, on our big art room, on Saturday and Sunday. And I was like, the rest of my house, actually, I did a lot of that before we went to Tucson. So as far as like cleaning, decluttering and stuff, I don't really need it. But what I need is to clear my space. So that's happening today. I'm going to open some windows and some blinds and clear this place out. I can only imagine the kind of help I'm going to be getting from that basset hound. I'm sure it'll be great. Well, you guys, happy Easter if you celebrate. We celebrated Ostara last week. Yeah. Sid, you bet. Absolutely. And thank you too, Jane. So have a great weekend. Of course, I'll be back here next week, same place, same time. Don't forget, I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. That, of course, is the hotline that I work on. I have been working at 12listen now for 12 years. Can you believe that? 12 years. 12 awesome years that I have been here, and I absolutely love it. So, pretty exciting stuff. So you can head over there and find my profile. And I am signed in. I'm at work 365. I work every single day. If you go over there and you want to talk to me and I'm not available, just do a callback request or a scheduled call and I'll get right back with you. When you do a callback request, I get a text that lets me know, hey, you have a client waiting that needs to talk to you. And I'll do everything I can to get to a space where I can sign in and speak with you. So that works out 99.9% of the time. However, I'm there a lot of the time as well. Thank you, Jen. By the way, you guys, if you haven't noticed, Jennifer Lakshmi Dove here at 12 Radio, 12 Listen, she is doing the best work on her socials. She's putting out all of these videos on TikTok and on YouTube. Put up a link for us, please, ma'am, of a lot of astrological stuff that's really helpful. And her videos are so nice. She's got great graphics. I don't know if you've ever seen Jennifer, but she's a beautiful woman and she's just putting out all this awesome stuff. I really want to highlight her for that because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to do all the social media stuff and she's just out there killing it. So seek her out, at least on Facebook, to find some links to connect on other socials if you haven't. But lots of really good work going on there. So good work. All right. Well, I'll see you over at 12listen.com. If not, I'll see you here next week. Thanks for listening. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.